is beginning to rain, rain, rain in the voice of our Father. Saying, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas. Hello, good friends. This is Tex Mars. Great to be with you again here at Bible Home Church. We're starting a new series of worship sermons today. And I'll tell you, this is going to be something that, it just has to change your life. It does. It changed my life when I began to study the mystery of the seed of God. The mystery of the seed. Did you know there is a great mystery concerning the seed of God? Of course, the Bible gives us tremendous instructions and knowledge. But nevertheless, in the world at large, even in the so-called Christian world, there is a great darkness in this area. I mean, this is the dark continent of Christianity in terms of what you need to know. And yet, this is at the very essence of Christianity. My friends, if you do not understand what I'm going to tell you about the mystery of the seed, you are not a follower of Jesus Christ. You cannot be a follower of Jesus Christ because your sins will not be forgiven you. Now, that's how powerful this is today. Let me repeat that again. If you do not understand the mystery of the seed, you are not a Christian. A lot of people say, oh my goodness, is text saying, if I don't believe just like he does, I can't attain the kingdom of God? Well, yes, I am saying that. Now, there are many things that I believe. You may not really believe exactly like I do. There are ways of understanding the Word of God that you say, well, I don't like that, or I don't agree with text on that. And you know, there's some doctrines we can argue about and have fun and debate over, and we can still be friends. You can pat me on the back and I pat you on the back, and you can take me out to dinner somewhere. And we just, you know, I love to do these things. I was reading just recently a biography of King James, you know, the man who was king of England when the King James Version of the Bible was produced. And it said the greatest love of his life was to argue and debate about the Word of God. They said he would stay up all night long debating the Word of God. He'd take one little scripture, and he and his friends would stay up all night long debating that one little scripture. I sure wish we had a president of the United States like that, that believed that the Word of God was so important, he'd stay up all night to fight and haggle over one little scripture. King James thought that tobacco and cigarettes and smoking was such an evil thing. He founded the first temperance union, or the first society, to try to get people to stop smoking. And that's sort of an interesting little aside there. But he loved the Word of God. Now, I'm going to take you to the Word of God today, and we're going to start this series. I don't know how many weeks we're going to go, but we're going to go till God says, Tex, you've run out of material. And I don't know when that will be. It might be 52 weeks, because let me tell you something, my friends. You'll find out whether or not you're a Christian. You say, well, I already know I am. Well, that's fine. Then you'll have to agree with me on the mystery of the seed. But you might find out your next door neighbor, or the man who sits with you, or the woman who sits with you in the pew next to you at church, is not a Christian, because she doesn't understand, or he doesn't understand, doesn't comprehend the mystery of the seed. That's how vital it is today for you to know this information. Well, before we begin, of course, there's something else very vital, and that's to see Jesus. And you know, we've got a great song by the Cathedrals, great old gospel group, We Shall See Jesus. Boy, won't that be glorious. Here are the Cathedrals, and I'll be right back with today's message.
Once side. People were gathered, for Jesus had risen, and soon would ascend. But then, as he blessed them, he rose to the heavens, and he gave
It's one of the greatest mysteries in the Bible. And did you know that most people have their eyes blinded so that they cannot understand this mystery? I'm referring, of course, to the mystery of the seed of God. It's a mystery because Jesus said he would keep it a mystery from those who have not been chosen for salvation. Now, before we begin this incredible new series, I want you to understand something, my friends. The Bible has so much to say about the seed. That's S-E-E-D, seed. I did a little check of the concordance, and I found, oh, so many verses. I've got them all written down here in the Bible referring to the seed. And it goes all the way back to Genesis, and We have in the book of Luke, in Corinthians, in Galatians, in Hebrews, in Acts, Matthew, Psalms, of course, Proverbs, Isaiah. So many references to the seed. It's interesting that Jesus himself called this a mystery and a secret. A mystery and a secret. We're going to be looking at exactly what Jesus said. I know for a fact, I can tell you right now, this always makes people just furious and hot behind the collar if they've fallen behind God's word. I say fallen behind, I mean they don't really accept God's word, but they're accepting the lies and false doctrines of certain name it and claim it, God wants you to be rich and have great wealth type preachers. I can tell you for a fact that these preachers are leading you direct toward the gates of hell, if they're not already within those gates, because they do not understand the mystery of the seed of God. This is a great diviner of who is of God and who is not. If you know the mystery of the seed of God and comprehend it, if you understand the vast secret knowledge that is contained therein, you will literally be saved. You will be grabbed by the Holy Ghost and brought to the knowledge of God himself. But if you understand not the seed, my friends, I'm telling you, you are headed straight for damnation. Now, this is the great divider then, the seed. Many people refer to the seed beginning with the book of Genesis and Abraham, and they say, well, the seed of God are the Jewish people. They're God's chosen people. Abraham's seed. But that's not what we're talking about at all here. Of course, there is a physical seed. And God has provided a way that the generations of man come about through the seed. And there is, of course, a physical seed of Abraham, his physical descendants. There is today, I believe, even DNA evidence, although there's not necessarily a pure Jewish race on this earth. There's still, nevertheless, DNA tests and results have proven there are those who can say, I had Jewish ancestors, I'm a Jew. Some say that if you're an Israelite, meaning the geographical nation of Israel, the one on the map, on our atlases, if you're from there, then you're of the seed of God because you're a Jew. Especially the Jews say if your mother was Jewish, then you're Jewish. I don't know why they don't go along with the father being the heir, but giver, but they don't. But you see, we can argue all day long about the physical seed, but I'm not even talking about the physical seed. Although the problem is today that many people are very confused, and you can become very frustrated if you don't understand the difference between the spiritual seed and the physical seed. Now, God is really not that interested in the physical seed. Because, you see, the physical seed is only temporary, transient, and passing. If you don't believe it, my friends, just look at yourself in the mirror as you age, from about the age of 18 until the age of 80, and you will see yourself withering away. And someday you'll return to the dust of this earth. I mean, your physical body. The seed was planted. It brought forth a certain physical resemblance. But that physical resemblance gets older and decays and withers. And someday you're no more in terms of your physical attributes. But believe you me, your spirit goes on. It goes on to be with the Lord forever or with Satan forever. That spiritual seed, which is the real seed that we're to be concerned with. If you are born again, then a spiritual seed, the Word of God, is planted within you. Christ within the hope of glory, said Paul. And you become a new person. That seed is planted inside of you. Here's where a lot of people fail in their understanding. A lot of Jews say, I'm still God's chosen people, even though I hate and despise this false prophet Jesus. They reject Christ Jesus, the Lord of the universe, and they say, but that's okay, I'm a Jew. I'm of Abraham's seed. I say to the Jew who says such things, yes, you are of Abraham's physical seed, but you're of your father, the devil, for you reject the one true Messiah and Savior of the world. And I say that on the authority of Jesus Christ, for he told the Jews of his day, I know that you are of Abraham's seed, but you are of your father, the devil. Oh, how can that be? How can you be Abraham's seed, but your father is the devil? The Jews said, the devil cannot be our father while we're of Abraham. And Jesus let them know they had a great misunderstanding of the seed of God and what it's all about. So the first thing I want you to know is there are certain things that the seed is not. We're going to get into now later on in explain what the seed is, what this mystery and secret is. But I want you to know, first of all, it's not the physical seed. Doesn't have anything to do with your being Jewish or Gentile or German or American or Australian or Chinese or anything like that. The second thing it's not the amount of money you or I sow into a ministry or a church. Now, they teach that today, I know, in these false doctrinal ministries. Kenneth Copeland, Kenneth Hagin, Paul Crouch, Dr. Frederick Price, John A. Van Zini, I think some guy named Creflo Dollar, well, very well named there, Benny Hinn. All of these men, and I understand even T.D. Jakes has got involved in that, they believe that by the amount of money you or I sow or give to a church or a ministry, that that is seed. That's our seed faith. We're planting a seed in that ministry. And they believe you'll be rewarded according to the seed, meaning the money you give a certain ministry. And I want you to understand something. I do believe that God rewards people who are cheerful givers. But that's not the seed of God. You see, when the widow gave everything she had with the one mite, Jesus said, you know, this widow giveth all that she has. And she was recognized for giving her gift, but she wasn't giving a seed. The seed is something totally different than money, which God describes in many places as simply filthy lucre. God's got all the money in the world. That's not what the seed is. There's no secret, by the way, or mystery as to why these men preach such false things. They want to get money. And I suppose if I were to start preaching the so-called seed faith gospel, and I hate to even mention the word gospel in the same breath with the seed faith gospel, which really involves filthy lucre or money, I suppose if I began to preach that, a certain number of people would give to this ministry. We'd probably get more money than we've ever got before. I wouldn't have the blessings of Jesus Christ. I'd be a very pitiful man. And this ministry, I think, would be damned by God for teaching such great heresy. Because the seed of God has nothing to do with the amount of money that you give to this ministry or any ministry at all. And I cannot tell you that God will give you a yacht or a new motorboat or get you a better job or get you a prettier mate or anything like that because of the amount of money you give to this ministry. God might just make you wiser. God might just make you more contented in the present financial shape you're in now. God may make your life more joyful. He may bring loved ones, children, or parents into the fold of God so that they'll be more happy and live eternally with Him. That might be the treasures that God gives to you. You can drive a jalopy, my friend, and be the happiest man or woman on earth. You can be in a deep, dark, damp prison cell and be the happiest person on earth and be blessed greatly by God. You can be awaiting execution on the gallows or the guillotine and be the most blessed and happy person on earth. Because Jesus said, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. So what will you get if you give money to Bible Home Church? I think God will reward you. And it will be a reward that I cannot define for you. But I promise you, I would never say that you're guaranteed to get material possessions when you give to God's work. I think there are some things God may give you that are much greater than any material possessions you or I could ever desire. Well, what is it then? What is this seed? What is the mystery? What is the secret? First, I want you to know that the seed is the Word of God. Second, I want you to know that it's the kingdom of heaven. You say, the Word of God is the seed? You say, text, the kingdom of heaven is the seed? Well, yes, we're going to get into that. Now, first I want to begin with a couple of Bible verses that just to cause you to stop and think a bit. Then we're going to get deeper into this mystery. First, I want to read to you from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. We read, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Friends, the word of God produces holy people, and they are holy seed. They are incorruptible. They don't mingle with the world because they are separate from the world. They're a peculiar to the world type of people and nation. And God does not mix his holiness with the heathen ways of the world, which are rejected by God. So when you come to know Jesus Christ, who is the Word of God, you are born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. How? By the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So right away we see then the seed is the Word of God that he places in the heart and soul and mind of the born-again believer who will live and abide with God forever. Well, let's go to 1 John chapter 3, verse 9. This is an interesting thing you'll find out. It says, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Now that's an entire series of sermons right there. If you're born again, you cannot live in sin any longer. You will not practice or perpetually commit sin. And God has forgiven your sins and made you whole and made you a new person. And his seed remaineth in you, and you cannot sin because you're born of God. If you've got a worldly lifestyle, the Bible says you will be grieving the Holy Spirit, by which you are sealed. The seed of God is sealed within you. No man can break that seal. But let me tell you something, my friends. When you defile yourself or your body, you are grieving the very Spirit of God. You're sealed, yes, but you're grieving the Spirit of God. You know, I've met many a parent who had a child go astray and lead a very sinful and terrible lifestyle. And every parent has told me, I'm really grieved over my daughter or my son and the way they're living. You grieve your parents. My friends, you listen to me, young people. You don't show honor or respect to your parents or your grandparents when you lead a sinful lifestyle. You're harming your body, you're harming yourself, but you're also harming your parents. You're disrespecting your parents, and they will grieve over you. And that too is sin, to cause your parents to grieve because of your wicked behavior. I'm convinced, although the Bible doesn't really go into great detail, that the father of the prodigal son was greatly grieved in his heart, seeing the lifestyle of the prodigal son. And when the son returned, oh, how happy and joyful he was. And I believe that's what happens with God. You commit sin, let me tell you something, you're grieving the Holy Spirit, and oh, how happy God is when you return. Your parents are like that too. So we see then that it is the born-again believer who has the seed planted within. And yet there are some people who are foolish and do not understand this at all. Galatians chapter 3 talks about those kinds of people. The Galatians believed that they could follow the law of Moses, and they no longer evidently even preached being born again. And Paul said, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you? They believed that they could follow the works of the law, but Paul said, somebody's bewitched you. They were into witchcraft. You see, they forgot the fact that they were the seed of God. They didn't understand the real new covenant of Christ. And then in chapter 3 of Galatians, verse 16, Paul said something that is the most shocking thing that you will never hear in a Christian church today. Did you hear what I just said, friends? I'm going to read to you now the most shocking, the most profound, and life-changing verse that you will never hear in 99.99999% of churches today. Let me read it to you. And it's something to dwell on. Next week we're going to discuss it in more detail. We haven't even got into the big mystery and secret. Wait till we do. You'll be bowled over if you haven't studied these areas of Scripture. But let me read to you verse 16, chapter 3 of Galatians. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He, that is God, saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. You see, back in Genesis, when God was talking with Abraham, and he said that his seed would be blessed and his seed would have the promises. He didn't say the seeds as of many, but the seeds. Thy seed, which is Christ. The seed of Abraham is Christ Jesus. And if you're born of Christ Jesus, you're born again, you have the seed within, and you're of the seed of Abraham. We're going to talk more about that next week. This is Pastor Tex Mars. You've been listening to Bible Home Church. I'll see you.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.